Okay, good morning, everybody. Yasher Koach for coming. We're going to discuss today a challenging sugya on many fronts. Even though it might not be so halachic in its pure sense, but as every sugya of Torah, there's always shiv and pun on the Torah. There's always multiple options of how we approach the Torah and how we view it. And many of us might have had one way of how we thought this pshat and the sugya was, and we'll see one pshat today that might not fit with that, or maybe you like this pshat and don't like a different pshat. Meaning there's, what I'm saying today is that not necessarily the way it's for sure going to be, we just don't know. And we'll stay tuned, Be'ezer Hashem, we'll find out very soon, and I'm happy to be proven wrong, Be'ezer Hashem, here be a maintenance. Let's go through the sugya, here we go. Tana Rabbana, the Gemara in Sechtes Nida tells us as follows, a fascinating halacha. Beged she'ava b'klayim, you have a garment that in it was a strand of klayim. So let's say the main part of the beged was linen, and a woolen string is somewhere in there, but you can't find it now. It's not discernible, and it's lost, but you don't know what to do with the beged now because it's shatness. You're not allowed to sell this garment now to a goy, because the goy might go ahead now and sell it to a Jew. We're not going to realize it as shatness, so you can't give it to a goy. You can't make it as a saddle for the donkey, because sitting on shatness could also be a problem in certain cases. What could you do with this garment? You shouldn't throw it out. You should be resourceful and use it to make burial shrouds. Amar Rav Yosef, says Rav Yosef, Zaysa Meris, this comes to teach us the halacha of mitzvahs betelus la'asad lavoi, that in the future, mitzvahs will be bottled. Because we see here that we have a mace, we dress them up in tachrichim, and we're not concerned for the isser of shanis. Rav Yosef deduces from here that in the future, la'asad lavoi, mitzvahs will be bottled. Amar Le Abayas, Abayas says to Rav Yosef, Yitem Rav Dimi, Yisomte Rav Dimi said, Va'am Rav Moni, Am Rav Yanai, they say in the name of Rav Yanai, Loishanu El Lesaptoi. That's only when they're eulogizing him. While they're giving him the hesper, you're allowed to dress him in these shatnes burial shrouds. Avalu Koivroi, but to actually bury him in the shrouds, Usser, it'll be Usser. Amalei Lav Itmar Law. No, we learned on this that you know what you're saying is not correct. Amar Rav Yechon and taught us, Afilu Lekoivroi. Even for Kfura, even for burial, you're allowed to put a person in these Tachrichim. Rav Yechon on the Tamej, Rav Yechon according to his reasoning, to Amar Rav Yechon teaches us, what does the pasuk mean when it says that the people who pass on, the mesim are chafshi, they're free? The Gemara darshins, kivin shemes, once a person passes on, adam nasa chafshi min amitzvah, kivin shemes adam, once a person passes on, nasa chafshi min amitzvah, he becomes completely free, quote unquote, of mitzvah. So here we have a Gemara telling us that if you have a garment that has some shatness in it, but it's not discernible, so you can't just take the shatness out, that would be the easy fix. So instead of wasting the garment, instead of throwing it out, you can make burial shrouds out of it. And the Gemara says, not a problem of making tachrichin, of making burial shrouds out of a garment that has shatness in it, even though you're putting it on a Jewish person. First, the Gemara says, because the principle of mitzvahs betelos la'asad lavoi, the mitzvahs in the future won't be binding. Seemingly, that means they won't be, we don't have, they'll be abolished, or they won't be applicable. The Gemara concludes that once a person passes on, he becomes chafshim in a mitzvah, he becomes free of mitzvahs. Just as a side, before we go further, this shiur not really going to talk about so much about tachrichim, but when Rabbi Zon was here back in January, Rabbi Chanan Zon, the head of the National Chevra Kadisha, so I was speaking to him about different things that come up by preparing a mace. So he said there's a fascinating Mar Malkum for why we specifically use tachrichim of linen, of pishton, when it comes to preparing a mace for burial. And he said, told me to look up in the Alkut Mamloyas on Yeshua, where the pasuk there is talking about when Rachav was hiding Yeshua and the spies who came. It says she hid them in the pishton. And the Yalkut Mamloyas there explains that there's many, Kabbalistic or mystical benefits to pishton. He says one of them is that pishton flax, which is linen, blocks, is a shield from any types of kshafim, any type of sorcery or black magic. He says that's why even if someone passed away in chutzlaretz, if you wrap him up in the proper tachricha, made of pure pishton, without any other threads in it of other materials, then the mekatrigim won't be able to harm him, he says. Furthermore, he says, if chas v'shalom, a person has children that die young, when a person is likely to have other young children born, he should quickly wrap them up in pishton, completely wrap the babies in linen garments that'll protect them from ayin hara. He says that's why the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, when he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the holiest of holy, he only wore a big day pishton. The white garments were completely out of linen as well. He says because that protected him from any mekatrigim on Yom Kippur. And he goes on and on to speak about the milas of linen. So just as a side, why most of the time we're makbid to have tachrichim out of linen. But this Gemara is teaching us the halacha that in case the tachrichim are Shatness, it's not a problem because number one, mitzvahs betelas to us love, and mitzvahs in the future will be not applicable, seemingly. And second of all, because Gemara explains, I'm saying there's two parts, really it seems to be going together, that kivan she'ada meis, once a person passes on, nasa chafshi min ha-mitzvahs, he becomes free from mitzvahs. Now, what does it mean, la'asa lovay, in the future, right? What does the future mean? The future can mean the second after, a minute from now is the future. Or the future can mean in 10 years from now, or 100 years from now. What does it mean, the future? So Taisa says, I quoted just part of the Taisa in source number 2, Taisa says, which where it's bracketed off, that which we learned, that you're allowed to make burial shrouds from klayim, from the shatness, even though when we will be arisen, we will arise from the grave, we'll be standing in our clothing that we were buried in, so we're going to be wearing shatness. Nonetheless, Shema Amino, Shemitzvah tells us love. So Taisa learns very clearly, this Gemara is telling us, even though at the time of Tchiyas HaMesim, that we will get up and just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu will make a nes and put our body back together, right? We all know that the human body, unless you're completely righteous, is going to decompose. But nonetheless, Chazal tells us there's a certain bone that from that the Tchiyas HaMesim will start. And the Mefarshim explains so too, somehow, miraculously, the matter, the physical matter that our tachricha are made out of will somehow come back together again as well, the same way the miracle of Tchiyas HaMesim works, it works for the clothing as well. And when we get up out of the kever, we'll be dressed, says Taisus, in the same things we were buried in. So you see, in the future, there won't be mitzvahs, because during our lifetime, we can't wear shatness. But now that we came back, we're allowed to wear the shatness.
What bone is it?
It's called a luz bone. The bottom of the spine is. I can't tell you the anatomy in the...
bottom of the spine, like
that's what they say. I don't know exactly where, you know, which part of it, which vertebrae, you know, what number.
From Mason Chavshi implies when they're dead, there's no mitzvahs, as opposed to Tchiyas HaMesim, is no longer dead.
Okay.
That's going to be one opinion.
Okay. We're going to give another opinion. Right, we'll get right. Right, we'll get to, we're going to get to that machlekes. Right. Hold on. Yeah.
I want to just clarify. So you said the thing that they're buried in.
The shrouds, yeah. It could be. It's allowed. The Gemara is talking about, it's not supposed to be, but if it's shatness, what do you do with the garment if you have shatness and you can't take it out? Right. So the Gemara said, don't throw it out. Use it for burial shrouds. Because once a person passes on, and the Asa Lavoi, there's no mitzvahs.
To wear shatness?
Right. That's what the Gemara seems to be saying.
Well, he's pater from mitzvahs.
Is right. It also why, the towels that you dress the mace up and you kind of do something to
Okay, right, we're not going to discuss so much now. That's different from Hagim. Whether or not you wear a talis, some people do, some people don't. And if you do, some people passel it, some people don't passel it. So that's a whole discussion itself. Let's not discuss that right this minute, but let's just focus right now. So at this point, Tais is learning that the Gemara is talking about by Tchiyas HaMesim. When the Gemara says that mitzvahs are petelas to us love of the future, doesn't mean in 5 minutes from now or while he's still in the grave. It means even when the person arises from the grave, he will be pater from the mitzvahs. Now, it's interesting.
Why don't we just say that the mitzvah of shatnas is batal? Why do we have to say every mitzvah is
batal? Okay. Well, that could be, but then you'll have to explain why shatnas is different.
Right. But if you can say all mitzvahs are batal, then why can't you say one mitzvah is
batal? Right. I'm not sure. We have to have a source or some pasuk or something. At this point, everything is very loose. Right? There is a Gemara in Ksubis. And it's in a Hedrim where the Gemara brings a story that Cleopatra asked one of the Amoraim, what's going to be when Bazman Tchiyas HaMesim, how will we come up? Will we come up clothed or unclothed? And the Gemara says, they responded to her that just like HaKadosh, you could take a seed, right, a raw kernel and put it in the ground, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it grow, and it's a beautiful stalk with multiple coverings on top of the seed that you need. When we get wheat, right, we just need a little kernel inside, but it's covered over and over and over and over. So they said, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes such an ace for the simple seed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he brings us back, will bring us back clothed as well.
Yeah,
the Gemara brings her. She wasn't Jewish. She was challenging the rabbis, wanted to know what's going to be. And then the Taisa over there in Ksubas brings that is Yerushalmi actually has a machloikis, but it's man tchiyas hamesim, what we're going to be wearing. One man diyamar is like the simple reading of this Taisa in our Gemara in Ksubas that we're going to be wearing tachrichim. There's another man diyamar, Rebbe in the Yerushalmi holds up, it's man tchiyas hamesim, but we're wearing our typical clothes. Now, I don't know which suit you're going to be come back in, but something that you were usual to wear in your lifetime, you'll come back in. And there's a raya, the Mefarshim bring. What's a raya to that opinion? Again, the opinion that we'll come back with Tchiyas HaMesim in a regular clothes. Remember the story of Shmuel HaNavi when he went to bring back Shaul, right? He went to the witch, right? Shaul, and brought back the witch, and she can't hit the...
Vice versa.
Shaul, I'm sorry, thank you. And Shaul brought back up Shmuel, and when Shmuel came up, Shmuel was dressed in his regular clothes, the Medrash says. So you see from there, that's a source that perhaps not, it won't come back at Tachrichim, but there are those that argue that Raya and say, well, that was different, that wasn't regular Tekiyas HaMesim, that was a whole different way it worked over there. So it's an interesting discussion, but seemingly Pashas from the Bavli is that Bezman Tekiyas HaMesim will be back in Tachrichim. Okay, so at this point again, we have Taisis. Taisis learns Asalava means Bezman Tekiyas HaMesim. It comes along the Rajba in source number 3, and the Rajba argues on Taisis, because the Rajba asks a question from, the Gemara says, talks about, in Perek Lamed Zayin in Yecheskel, we read this Haftorah on the Shabbos Chol HaMoed of Pesach. We talk about that Tzomas HaYeveshes. Yecheskel brought back to life a whole valley full of bones. And there were those people who descended from those people, meaning they lived afterwards, they had children, and they seemed to live a regular Jewish life afterwards. They had tefillin and all types of things. So Rajba asked on Taisus, according to you, Taisus, that once you get up again, so to speak, at Tchias HaMesim, you're Pater for Mitzvah, so why are those people that Yecheskel brought back to life, were they doing all the mitzvahs? So therefore, it says the Rajba, where I underline it, says Venira Li La'asulava. What does it mean? The future? It means Mishah Shemeskar. It means while the person is dead. The halacha, the Gemara is teaching us here that the live people, the people that are still here at Bahai Alma, are not mechuyev to make sure that the mesim are keeping all the mitzvahs. Like we have a halacha by a katan, right? For we're not allowed to give a katan in the selling of iser. Right, even though you don't necessarily always have to, depending on all the situation, you don't necessarily have to stop a katan from doing iser in certain cases, but you're not allowed to give biyadayim unless in sakana, but in a typical case, you can't give a katan anything iser. So it says the Rajba, in contrast to that, you can give a mace iser. So you can give the mace the iser of shanis. While the person is dead, there's no problem. But the Rajba learns, but once the person gets back up again, then he's back to regular business, and therefore mitzvahs will be in full force again. So according to the Rajba, when the Gemara says mitzvahs are batal, asalavai, it doesn't mean in the future, at the end of the day, at Tchias HaMesim. It means asalavai in his future, while we're in his current state, while he's a mace. But when he gets back up, in the future of the future, that the mitzvahs will be back to regular, and that's how the Rajba learned. So we have a machlaikis, we show you how to learn the Gemara. When we say mitzvahs are batal, asalavai, according to Taisvis, it means asalavai means after Tchias HaMesim, then there's no more obligation, at least in mitzvahs. And according to the Rajba, la'asalavai means as long as the person is a mace, once he gets back up, he's back to his regular chiyuvim of mitzvahs.
But isn't there a precedent that once we're dead, we can't do any more mitzvahs? So why telling us this?
That's, well, maybe we should still be concerned that we can't do, us here, can't do something to a mace who, specifically, which he was not allowed to do in his lifetime. So we won't be able to put on shatnas to him, perhaps. That's the havamin. That's what I would have thought, says the Rajba. And the Chiddush Gemara is, I know you're allowed to do that as long as he's dead.
I see.
That's the Chiddush Rajba. Now, not everyone's going to take this so easily. But that's, we have to first get the steps down here. This is the Machlokes Rishonim in the Gemara, what it means, la'asalavai. Now we have a Gemara in Sanhedrin, source number 4. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, and this was comforting to me, because when I was preparing this shiur last week, I just prepared it because I like this topic and I was spending some time in it and I thought it would be very nice to discuss. But then, when I got to this Gemara in Sanhedrin, I was very comforted because the Gemara in Sanhedrin is about to bring a pasuk from this week's Parsha to prove one way or the other. So from this upcoming week's Parsha, Parsha's Korach, we'll see in a minute. The Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yechanan teaches us, Minayin L'Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah. From where do we know in the Torah that there's such a concept that the dead will come alive? L'Tchias HaMesim, Shneimar, the pasuk says in this week's Parsha, towards the end of the parsha, v'nasata mimenu es trumas Hashem la'aron hakoyin. The pasuk there is talking about the mitzvah of trumas meiser, that the Levi, once he gets his meiser, then has to go ahead and give another portion to the kohen. So the pasuk says, just like the regular Yisrael has to take off truma, so too the Levi takes off truma. Kein terimu gam atem trumas Hashem mikom asrei seichem. The pasuk says, from all your meiser you receive, you have to give to the kohen. And the pasuk says, you give it to Aaron hakoyin. The Mara asks, v'chi Aaron le'olam kayim, is Aaron going to be living forever? Meaning, in the Midbar, this wasn't applicable. When was these mitzvahs going to kick in? Only in Eretz Yisrael. Aaron HaKohen is not going to be in Eretz Yisrael. So what's the pasuk telling us? Give it to Aaron HaKohen in Eretz Yisrael. It says the Gemara, V'aloi lo nichlas Eretz Yisrael. Aaron HaKohen didn't merit to enter the land of Israel. Shenoisen lo truma to that. We should give him truma. Elam Alamedis comes to teach us. She'asid lachios, that Aaron HaKohen is going to come back alive. V'yisol nois lo truma, we will give him truma. Mikan, from here we see it, Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah. Says the Gemara, so one of the proofs, the Gemara has a bunch of proofs that we see the concept of Tchias HaMesim, even though the Torah we know never explicitly speaks it out. One of the proofs is in this upcoming parasha, Parashas Korach, that we see that the Levim have to ultimately give Truma to Aaron HaKohen. That only could be when Aaron HaKohen comes back alive, which means it'll be Tchias HaMesim. Now what's the problem with this Gemara? What happened over here? Aaron HaKohen, we know, died.
He never was in Israel. He never went to Eretz Israel, right?
Right. Aaron HaKohen, in his first lifetime, never went to Eretz Israel. He died.
Right.
Now what happens in the Asid Lavai when he gets resurrected? Right? We're saying that what?
We
have to give him Truma.
Right.
What do I mean? Truma? Truma is a mitzvah. So says the Sidrei Tahara on the next page in source number 5, he says this Gemara is a clear proof to the Rajba, because the Rajba learned that mitzvahs betelas la'asid lavo. When we say mitzvahs are batel la'asid lavo, that means as long as the person is dead. As long as Aaron HaKohen was in the grave, we're not allowed to give him Truma. He's in the grave. But once Aaron HaKohen comes back up again, he says a couple lines down where it's bracketed off there, the last 2-3 lines, it says, V'im kein, hasfila the Rabbi Yochanan, de la'achar tchiyas ha-meisim, ein ha-mitzvahs betelas, the mitzvahs aren't batel. V'im kein, eich sfila le'kan da mitzvahs betelas, how can Rabbi Yochanan, the same Rabbi Yochanan told us over here in Nida, the first Gemara, that mitzvahs will be batel, aslavi, elavadai, the last line over here, he says, second to last line, tekan le'amar d mitzvahs betelas, ela bimoso, only while the person is still dead. I've proven, says the Sidrei Tahara, like the Rajba, that when we say that mitzvahs betelas la'asid lavo are only mean while the person is still dead, but once the person gets back up, it's business as usual, and therefore in the future we will give Aaron HaKohen the Truma, Levim will give him the Truma Smeiser, we'll give him our regular Truma, and everything will be the same.
So will my tefillin come with me?
Where are you going to get your tefillin from?
I don't know. Where am I going to get them?
I'm sure the St. Louis Colo bookstore will have available for sale. Yeah, I'm sure.
What's this whole right from Aaron HaKohen that the mitzvahs betails? What's the mitzvah for Aaron HaKohen? To receive Truma?
Oh.
The mitzvah is really on you're going to give to the Kohen. So at most you can learn is that Aaron's status as a Kohen will be reinstituted.
Okay, hold on.
Somebody's going to be giving him. Somebody's giving him Truma.
So what's the mitzvah for the person to give? We don't know.
Right. The people living Lasid Lavo will be giving Truma.
That's the raya. So the raya you're talking about. So it's not a raya on Aaron HaKohen. That Aaron's going to be alive. That's the raya. It's a raya that Tchias HaMeisim.
That you see. Okay.
So Aaron will be alive.
Seemingly that's why the Sidrei Tahara learns more. But really, what Raya Florence is asking is really the next source. In source number 6, the Aruch Lener comes and he wants to disprove or deflect this proof of the Sidrei Tahara, and he wants to say that's not a raya from that Gemara. Why? He says, first of all, he says, where it's bracketed off, I'm sorry for the older print, but that was available to me. He says, Ulanias Daiti, he says, there's no Raya Neged Taisus and for the Rajas. The Balav Hachi, he says, Kosha Ma'oid, Kivan Dalacha Tchias Amesim, Ainsham Achila Vishtia Kiramina Gemara. There's other Gemaras which we're going to go through now that seem to imply that after Tchias Amesim, we're not going to be the same old physical self. We're not going to have to sustain ourselves on our regular steak and potatoes. We'll be living on a much higher spiritual level, and we won't need all the regular calories, the 2,000 calorie diet that we have today. We'll be on a spiritual diet. So what do we have to give all this physical food to Aaron HaKohen for now? What are we doing? We don't need the physical food. We're living on some spiritual type of mun. He says, Im kein, eich shach truma lechol. What does it mean that we're giving truma to Aaron HaKohen? That's his first question. He says, V'lechein, he says, it's 4 or 5 lines down. He says, Nir lani es daiti, we have another Gemara in Yuma which tells us the Gemara there is discussing how Moshe Rabbeinu, when he first inaugurated the Mishkan and the clothing of the Kohanim in the Midbar, how exactly he dressed Aaron and his sons. So Gemara says, what's an afkamina? An afkamina is to be in the future when we re-inaugurate the third base of Mikdash, how exactly we have to do everything. We have to do the same way Moshe Rabbeinu did it. So Mara says, what do you mean? Who cares? When Aaron and his sons and Moshe come back, we'll ask them. We don't have to discuss it right now. It's only going to be Nogea in the times of the third base of Mikdash. At that time, we'll have them here. So the whole discussion is moot, says the Gemara, and we'll just ask them when they show up. We don't have to have this discussion. So he asks, Harei Pshita the Gemara, it's simple to this Gemara, the Kesheibana Beis HaMikdash, when we have the third Beis HaMikdash, the Yashav HaVaida, when we have it starting to start the service again in the Beis HaMikdash, Yakumu Moshe, Aaron Ubanav, Moshe and Aaron's sons will be back. B'tchias HaMesim. Af Shezeh Adayin Eina Eis HaTchil Chol Oilam, even though this is not yet the time for Tchias HaMesim. Let's just digress for a minute. There's going to be multiple stages, Be'ezus Hashem, when we have our final redemption. We just kind of usually just mish it all together and say, well, Tchias Mason, Mason Migdash, and we'll live happily ever after. Mashiach will come, right? But really, there's different progression. There's a stage here. First, Eliyahu Navi is going to come. He'll be Mavasir the Geula. Then we will start getting ready for things. We'll have to obviously follow the direction of the Gedolim. I can't tell you exactly how it's all going to work, but Eliyahu Navi will come. We'll start packing our bags and get ready to go. Mashiach will come. We will start setting up the Beis HaMikdash. There'll be wars happening, whatever exactly will be going on. After all that is done, after all the hard work, so to speak, of getting everyone back together, then Tchias HaMeisim is going to be. They're going to come back after everything is all ready for them, so to speak. But that means when we first set everything up, when we first set up the Beis HaMikdash, there's no Tchias HaMeisim yet. So why does the Gemara say that when we need to set up the Beis HaMikdash, let's ask Moshe and Aaron? Moshe and Aaron aren't here back yet. We're getting ready for them to come back by first setting up the Beis HaMikdash. So how are we going to know what to do if Moshe and Aaron aren't here yet? So it comes along the Aruch on there and says a Chiddush. He says, V'chein is about halfway down, maybe a little further. It says, V'chein Yisa B'Zoyar. The Zohar tells us, "Shle'es haMashiach yakumu tzadikim gedolim." First, at the time of Mashiach, it's true Tchias HaMeisim is going to happen later, but there's a first showing, and the first coming back is for those people who are tzadikim gedolim. But Tchias HaMeisim, v'alzeh al Rabbi Yechon b'Sanhedrin sheyitnu truma la'aron hakohen. So I mean like this: we're going to have Eliyahu Navi going to come, Mashiach's going to come, and there's going to be stage one of Tchias HaMeisim. Who's coming back? Says the Zohar, says Aruch on there. That's all tzadikim gemurim. So when they come back, Aron HaKohen is going to be here, and Beis Hashem will still be around. We'll be able then to go ahead and give Aron HaKohen our truma. Why? Because we are mechuyev to give truma. Aron HaKohen, says the Aruch on there, he doesn't need it. V'im Efshei says maybe the Aron HaKohen is not even going to eat it because he's already on a higher madrega. He already is completely ruchni. But we are still mortals because we have been existent from the time pre-Eliyahu Navi, pre-Mashiach, into the next phase, so to speak. But Aron HaKohen, the Tzadik Gamur, is going to come back at the first stage of Tchias HaMeisim, so he's in a funny situation because he's already living L'Asid Lavai. So for him, mitzvahs betelas L'Asid Lavai, but for us, mitzvahs are still applicable. So it's going
to
be...
It doesn't matter to him. It's not on him, it's on us.
Right, it's on us. That's exactly what Aruch HaNer is saying. So we're going to have to give Aron HaKohen the Truma, but him, he doesn't have to even eat it because
so
he's...
Because he's going to share with his neighbors.
He'll give it to... Whatever he'll do, they'll give it to the Kohanim that are still alive in that day, maybe. Right. We have to give him truma. Who yachilim the kahanim achem? He'll give it to the other kahanim. Aval la'olam la'es hatchia yeshlamim the mitzvot tales. But says the Aruch HaNer, once tchias hameisim happens for whatever that might be, whoever that might be, whether it's phase one or phase two for everyone else, then it's going to be mitzvot tales. V'lachein loy bavad like a riot. Says there's no riot to the Raja from this Gemara, and therefore we go with Taisus. He says that la'as lavoi means in the time of tchias hameisim. So let's recap. We had a machlokes what la'as lavoi means. Taisus said la'as lavoi means. When we say mitzvahs betelas, mitzvahs will be not binding in the times of l'asid lavai. Tais says that means after tchias ameisim. Rashba says it means only as long as the person is ameis. Excuse me. Sijat Tahara said that the riot to the Rashba was from the Gemara of Aron HaKohen, that we see the Aron HaKohen is going to come back and we're still going to give him truma. Aruch HaNer says that's no riot because Aron HaKohen is going to come back in phase one of tchias ameisim because he's a tzaddik and gemur. He's going to show us how everything should work properly in the Beis HaMikdash. Where? I don't know if he'll tell us how to build it, but all that vayda and how to put on the clothing, all the intricacies of the running of the Beis HaMikdash, then we're still, at that point, us, Beis HaShem, will still give him the truma. We'll back to farmers and we'll give him whatever produce we need to give him for truma or truma smicer for the Levium. Aron HaKohen, though, at that point, he's already beyond us. He's already mitzvahs betelas for him, so he'll pass it on to some, you know, common Kohanim that are still alive from that generation. But then eventually, by the main Tchias HaMeisim, we'll all be in a situation of mitzvahs betelas l'asid lavai. This is the Aruch HaNer defending the Rashba. Now, for those who have I put out some pages of HaSafa, the Ritva, if you don't have it, it's over here, some pages. The Ritva in Nida, this is not in the older Ritvas. In the older Ritvas, the Ritva is like the Rashba. But in recent generations, it's printed in Masorah Rav Kook and others printed it as well, where they found more kisfayad, more things that were hidden. You'll see why in a minute. For many generations, and now we're zeichet to have more information. So comes along the Ritva, and he has a long piece here about this Gemara in general. First of all, he answers a question that the Rashba asked. The Rashba asked on Tosfos from the Yecheskel. Yecheskel, we said Yecheskel Navi was Mechaye Meisim, and we said the Gemara says that they had tefillin, and they continued to live as a regular life with doing mitzvahs and everything, and he asked that as a question on Tosfos. So the Ritva says that's not a question, because when we say La'asir Lavoi, we mean the real La'asir Lavoi. What Yecheskel did is true. Yecheskel brought back Mesim, but that's not really La'asid Lavai. That was just a miracle that he performed. Therefore, they're still Chayav Mitzvahs because they're still living in a Tkufa of full Kima Mitzvahs. That's where the Ritva learned. But then he says, in the beginning of the paragraph there where I just copied it, it's underlined, it says, V'im lachshoich min mitalmidei Yeshu. If you're going to tell me that from the students of Yimach Shemai V'zichroi, that's what it stands for, right? Yashka. We see this concept that mitzvahs are bottle in the future. So they're going to say, the Christians are going to tell us, what do you mean? You see, Jews, that you see your Torah has an expiration date because l'asid lavai, we're not going to have mitzvahs. So the fika chay reshus the yashka lohaisif legrayim enachas v'sham. They'll say, well, therefore, we have it right now already because we think Yashka did all these miracles and all these things, and he already brought back everything dead. So we're ready. We fit in. Don't tell us we're making things up. It works with your doctrine as well. Says the Ritva, af ata oimar lo, you tell him, misha liboy noikfar mekein, someone who has a weak heart, someone who is not firmly grounded in emunah, he'll have such a claim. And of course, it goes on to explain why that's not correct. When we talk about the later loss of Lavoi, the Torah not being kept the way we keep it today, so that's going to be a whole different existence. That's not going to be in a physical sense. That's going to be when we're completely only spiritual. After the Zman of the great Tekiyas HaMeisim, that's what it means, Mitzvah Tehillas Lasa Lavoi, and therefore he dismisses all the Christian scholars. That's why this part obviously was censored for many generations. But then he continues and he says, he quotes the opinion of the Rashba. He says, where it's underlined again later on, he says, Ava miktas rabbaisi yeshaybim mefarshim, some of my rabbeim taught me, ki amitzis enim Tehillas Olam, there'll never be even Lasa Lavoi, the Mitzvahs won't be batal, va'afil Zman Tekiyas HaMeisim, u'masha amru b'kan Mitzvahs b'Tehillas Lasa Lavoi, eni ala shira misa. It's only at the time when a person is dead. That's when there's no, and this is the opinion of the Rashba like we saw before, and he goes on at great length to discuss the Rashba. At the end, where towards the bottom of the left column, where underlined it again, it says, V'kama hekshisi lefanav. I had many questions. I asked the Rashba. I was very bothered by the Rashba's shot. Number one, I said, Chada, the Ritva asked the Rashba, the lishna of the mitzvahs b'teilas l'asa lavai ain b'mashma. The implication of the words mitzvahs are batal in the future doesn't fit in as well with the Rashba. The Rashba says not batal really in the future. It means that they're batal while the person is dead in the near future, but not in the long term future. It says that's not the implication of the words. L'aymash anu muzhar na mesim teaches that really the chiddush is that we're not obligated to take care of the mesim like we would take care of a katan. I mean, just like we said that you can't give a katan iser. The Rashba learned you can't give a mesisir. The Ritva says that's not the mashmoy, it's not the implication of the simple reading of the words. Number two, he says, V'oid, heich yala adas, that how can you say the Rabbiana held that once a person is nifter, anu musharlov, you would think that the other opinion would be that we are obligated to make sure mace doesn't have mitz, doesn't have shatnis, or doesn't have averis? Why would I think a mace is like a katan? A katan is someone who's mechanech, we're bringing him up, and there we have to be careful not to train him the wrong way. But a mace is a mace. Why would I compare a mace to a katan? And thirdly, he says, the Gemara says, Olam Haba, there's no schus, there's no chayva, and it seems to imply, like the Taisis and other Rishayim learned, that they were talking about in the future, where there's nothing physical, and we're going to live a life in a totally different plane, a whole different venue, I would say. And that's what it means. Mitzvah Tehillas Lasa Lavoi, the physical manifestation of the mitzvahs are not going to exist. And therefore, he concludes, V'adai lahiniach daiti b'tshuvayis, if I didn't like the responses that the Rashba told me, V'ein lanu elo shitas Rishayim, if I go to other Rishayim, the Ritva said, which he quoted earlier, which I didn't put down on the whole paper here, but he has the Ra'ah and other Rishayim who all learn, like he learns and Taisus learned, that Mitzvah Tehillas Lasa Lavoi means that in the future, after Tchiyas HaMeisim, the mitzvahs won't be in the same way that we keep them today. So okay, we have a Machlokes Rishayim, Taisus, the Rashba, we had the Ritva defending Taisus, and we had two Achrayim, each one wanted to bring a Raya to each one of the Rishayim. So where are we up to now? The Shulchan Aruch. How's the Shulchan Aruch paskin? We want to know what's going to be the halacha. Says the Shulchan Aruch in source number 7, Shulchan Aruch Yardeh and Hilchas Klayim, Shulchan Aruch paskins, Tachriche HaMeis, burial shrouds, Mutter La'asaisa Miklayim, you're allowed to make them out of Klayim, Afil L'Kayvra Behem, even to bury someone in them. So the simple reading of a Shulchan Aruch doesn't tell me one way or the other, because all the Shulchan Aruch tells me, is that you're allowed to make tachrichim, the shrouds, out of klayim. Doesn't tell me if he learns like Taisus because La'asa Lavoi, after Tchias HaMeisim, there's no mitzvahs at all, or learn like the Rashba, that as long as the person's dead, there's no problem. But comes along the Taz, and that's in the bottom of source number 7, in Ice Test, the Taz says, Afil L'Kayvra Pirish, all the more so if you're just clothing him for the eulogies, you could put him in shatnis. Why? He says the Taz, the same words as Taisvis, the clothing that he's buried in, who asid avoy behem. So you see the Taz is paraphrasing Taisvis. So we see from here the Taz on the Shulchan Aruch is passing like Taisvis, and we say mitzvah tehillas l'asid avoy. It means in the future, that after the Zman of Tchias HaMeisim, the mitzvahs won't have the same binding nature as they have today. I mean, so if you'd ask me at this point, it would seem like we're going to paskin like Taisus and the Ritva and those Rishonim, and we shall, chap right now to do all the mitzvahs the way we could do them today, because in the future it's going to be different. However, in source number 8, and that's in the Sefer Derech Emunah, which is from Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, it's on the Rambam in Hilchas Klayim, and the Rambam paskins this halacha as well. They are allowed to make tachrichim lemeis. You're allowed to make shrouds for a dead person from Klayim. And he writes here, this is the bottom, this is Reb Chaim Kanievsky in Ois Kuf Yud, he says, Vafil Kovar, but even to bury a person. Even though the person will get up with wearing shanis mutter. Why? That's like we just saw. That's mitzvah teilas las lavai. Therefore, we don't care if the person is buried in shanis because it doesn't apply to him anymore and will never apply to him ever again. However, Avol, he concludes, Harbei Rishayim Kosfu, many Rishayim write, nothing will change in the mitzvah's observance at the time of the resurrection of the dead. The reason why it's mutter to bury him in the klayim is mishum she'ein asalam b'tchias ha'meisim beged zeh shenikbar. He's not getting back up in his tachricha. Like I mentioned before, it's a discussion in the Yerushalmi, it's a machlokes. Rak of beged achas, going to wear a different beged. Ubizman shu meis ein shu mitzvah l'kovei. And while he's actually dead, we don't care what he's wearing, like the Rajba said. We're not commanded not to put on a mace climb. And therefore, Chaim Kanievsky is not coming to a full conclusion, but he's raising the doubt that it's not so simple that we can just say, Mitzvah Teilas Las Lavoi, and everything will be different in the future. Many Mishayim don't hold like this. And therefore, he seems to be concluding that it's a valid machlokes still, even though the Shulchan Aruch with the Taz is passing in one way. He's raising issue from other Rishayim. However, if you look carefully in the footnotes there, on the bottom, in the smaller print over there, in Reishud Gimel, where is he coming from? He says, who's the Harbei Rishayim? He says, the Rajba and Nida, which we saw, Samachal Beis, Ubi Chidushav, the Rajba's Chidushim as well, which are printed in the Ein Yaakov and Soif Perakam and the Brachas. So that's all the same. So far, we only have the Rajba. And then he says, Vaharitva. Which Ritva is he calling? Not the Ritva we just saw, because he's calling the older Ritva that doesn't have all the Haisafas that the new Ritvas have. So we have to speak to Rechayim Kanevsky Shlita if we're able to find out. Now that we have more of the Ritva, and the Ritva is quoting other Rishayim who agree to Taisa as well, so it kind of lessens the other camp, because the Ritva argued on the Rajba. Okay, the Ran B'Chidushav who's quoting the Rajba, so that's also really the Rajba, and the Rajbats. Okay, so he does it. There are some Rishayim who go with the Rajba, but it could be that some of the majority that he has is lessened due to the newer Rishayim that we have available today. Okay, that is the first shlav we discussed, all the halachic differences, and how we're going to paskin again, seemingly from the Taz and Shulchan Aruch, we're going to paskin like Taisa that mitzvahs are batel asa lavai. If so, now we come to a more hashkafic fundamental question. We have in the Siddur, many people say it every day, or at least they're familiar with it, the Ani Mamins. The ninth Ani Mamin is, in source number 9, it was completely coincidental that the ninth source on the sheet is the ninth Ani Mamin. It says, Ani Mamin Emunah Shleima, I believe with full faith, that the Torah we have today will never change. We're not going to ever get any other Torah. So if nothing's ever going to change, so how are we saying mitzvahs batlas lavai? This is the ninth Ani Mamin, and many Rishayim and the Gemara seemingly is learning that things are going to be different. So how can we say we believe with full faith and affirm that nothing's going to change?
That just means there won't be a competing Torah.
Okay.
It doesn't mean it's not going to be batal.
Well, what does it mean? Lotei muchlefes, meaning switched. To come switch.
Yeah.
And but even though we're not switching it, we're not keeping it anymore. So we put on the side. Sure, we didn't get a different one maybe, but isn't it strange that we just kind of just put on the bookshelf? Like now it's in the history section.
Right, but the word muchlefes.
Muchlefes, okay.
Switch from Nitzchias.
Right. If it's Nitzchias, then we should be keeping it forever.
I think maybe a strong cash would be for the Baltasim Baltigra. This would be a case of Baltigra.
If you take away mitzvahs. Okay, so however exactly you want to ask the question, the Rabbi Chana Wasserman in source number 10 in Kovit Shurim, he deals with this question, however exactly you want to ask it, and he has two interesting answers. He says in the first paragraph there in Aleph, a couple lines down, he says, V'yesh Shleimah, last words, the fourth line down, he says, V'yesh Shleimah, the kavana of this site of our belief is the din of Torah are never going to change the way it was taught us from Moshe. The gamzeh never misay, and this is also part of the tradition that we got at Sinai. Part of our tradition is that it's going to stop at this matzchias amesim. We're not having anything new that happens then. It has a time clock, so to speak, or a time where things are going to change. It's part of the Torah. We're not changing the Torah. Similar to what you're saying, nothing is changing. That's built into the system. We celebrate Sukkot time, and Bizman HaMashiach, we celebrate whatever we're going to celebrate then. It's just not going to be the same things we're celebrating now. It's not changing. There's a system in place how it's going to be. That's the first pshat of Rabbi Chanan. In the second paragraph, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman offers another pshat. He says, another pshat we can say is, Eina kavon, I'm just paraphrasing some of the lines there. No, it's not that, like I said before, that the time of the future will make that the mitzvahs change. Ela sha'amesim sheyichyu, people who died and come back alive, you patur mitzvahs, they are potter for mitzvahs. The gzeres hakasefu, because it's gzeres hakasef b'meisin that we have by a person who dies, that he becomes chafshi for mitzvahs. Kimin shemeis adam nasa chafshi min hamitzvahs la'olam afilu achash yichi, even after he has a resurrection. He says the same halacha will be nowadays. If you have a person, like we spoke about a few months ago in a shir, the halachas of a resurrected individual, if you have a person today who completely dies, like the Gemara says, Rabbo, shachta the rabzera, right? According to Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, when rabzera had a tchias hameisim, he's part of more mitzvahs. And there's a question on that, okay, but according to Rabbi Chanan, at least according to this pshat, Elisha, right, or Eliyahu Navi, they brought back to life different people, right? According to this, Rabbi Chanan, when those people came back to life, they're beyond, they're already living in a whole different, phase of life, or afterlife, whatever you want to call it, and there will be potter for mitzvahs that time, according to this pshat, Rabbi Chanan.
What is considered dead?
It's hard for us nowadays. Science, right? We don't have the ability nowadays to tchias hameisim. We don't have nevuah, so we can't do that.
I'm
but
saying, like, it's not of the it's not abnormal for someone's heart to stop in the hospital.
Right. We wouldn't call that person dead. Right. We're talking about dead.
Do you call it brain dead? So what is?
No, dead means completely dead, without a shadow of doubt. And okay, but I have to clarify that.
Someone back.
Right. As long as by natural means you could bring someone back, we wouldn't call that halachically dead in this, for this sense.
Okay.
For this, in this sense, if we have a natural way to bring it back, we're talking about someone being brought back to life in a supernatural way. Okay. And then he says in the next paragraph, then top in Ois Gimel, he says, "Vachilik ben shnei perushim." The difference between these two perushim, he said, will be based on with a nafkamina of the Radvaz. The Radvaz says it's going to be two phases, like we said before, like the Arachaner learned as well. There'll be two phases in Tchias HaMesim. The first phase will be a select Tchias HaMesim for those people who are upright tzaddikim in their life. And that's the first step. That'll be B'mais HaMashiach. They'll come back even before the main Zman of Tchias HaMesim while things are still getting ready, so to speak. We're getting the Beis HaMikdash set up and things are getting together. They're going to come back already to see all the action. And the second Tchias HaMesim, he says, is a call by Olam for the rest of you, us, or Klal Yisrael, L'yoyim Adina Godel Vader, for the great day of reckoning. He says, according to my first pshat, the Azman Shela Asa, the future is what Goyim, this battle of mitzvahs, but days of Mashiach will still have our mitzvahs. So those tzaddikim, according to this, he's saying, that come back in the days of Mashiach, will still have to keep the mitzvahs. But at the second Tchias HaMesim, when everyone comes back, and for the full show, then he says that'll be the whole Zman of Lost Love, and then everyone will be potter for mitzvahs. This does not fit in with what we said before from Aruch HaNer, and the Halafti obviously learned that differently, but at least according to Rabbi Chanan, we have this idea of how exactly it's going to play out.
What are they going to be doing?
Who's going to be doing? What are we going to be doing after
these after
Tchias HaMesim, we'll be on such a spiritual level, we'll be so absorbed in Ruchnius and doing things on a high spiritual level, we won't have to do physical mitzvahs to connect to Hashem. I can't tell you exactly. All I can tell you is don't change the dial. Stay tuned. Just to conclude with the Leshem. The Leshem was a tremendous Mekubal, the grandfather of the late Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal. He is volumes and volumes of Kabbalistic works, but Rabbi Nitzan showed me one piece here where he discussed this idea from a Hashkafic standpoint as well. He says, L'chaira, it's very hard to understand. We have this concept, I just cut out some of the paragraphs here. He says, basically asked the question, we have this concept of the Gemara, it says, Mitzvahs b'teilas l'asalavai, but then we have numerous sources in Chazal and Psukim and Novi that are full, talking about how we're going to keep the mitzvahs in the future, we're all going to come back and have a Ruach Hadasha, we'll be reinvigorated, and we'll be excited to do the Beis HaMikdash and do all the mitzvahs and everything's going to be back. So what is it? Are we going to have Karbanis and mitzvahs as usual, or are we going to be Mitzvahs b'teilas l'asalavai and everything's going to be in a high spiritual plane? What's going to be? So he says here in the second paragraph on the left side, he says, Acha inyan bazeh, the idea here is as follows. Hu kihine, he says, Tahaluchais hanhoga Hashem yamais HaMashiach, the way that Hashem is going to deal with us in the days of Mashiach, hine yiyah mitchilas hateva vahanisi me'uriv biyachad. In the beginning, it's going to be nature and above nature, miracles working together. It's going to be a fusion. Valderach shahaya begulas Mitzrayim, the same way it was when we were redeemed from Mitzrayim. Now, he doesn't speak exactly how it worked in Mitzrayim, but there's an etziv. It's not the only one that says it, but this is what I'm most familiar with, that explains that the four Lashonis of Geula, right, we have the Yitzalti, right, V'Ga'alti, V'Tesi, V'Yitzalti, V'Lakachti, V'Ga'alti, those four Lashonis, the Nativ explains, are in a progression. The first, we weren't just, the Nativ says it's impossible for an Eved, just at a snap of fingers, to change his whole mindset, change his whole Mahalach, from being an Eved working day and night in the slave out in the field all day, and all of a sudden going getting the Torah. So we know we had 49 days. But even before the 49 days of traveling, within even while we were still in Mitzrayim, already by some of the Makkas, the labor was pulled back. And now he said that was the first step of Itzesi Eschem Itachas Silvus Mitzrayim, that we stopped already working. That was by Makkas Barad or Arbe. And then Vahatzalti, and then Vahatzalti, Vahatzalti, meaning it was a progression of how until eventually we got the tremendous Nes of leaving Mitzrayim until eventually we got the tremendous Maimon Har Sinai. So it says the Leshem, the same idea, Shagam Reishis Hischalos HaGeula, the beginning of our redemption as well, Hayatekev Benisim, Im Kolzeh Hinei Adayin Kol Matzav Yisrael Atzim B'teva. Even though miracles are starting, there are makas going on, the 10 makas, they're all way above regular nature. Miracles are going. The fact that we're leaving Mitzrayim in such a grand way, it's all tremendous miracles, makas, b'chayres, etc. But we were still living in a natural world. We weren't above nature at that point. Ki adayin loy paskas hu amasana ma'an Torah. They had tumah with them until they were able to uplift themselves to the level of ma'an Torah. He says, v'chein yeh b'hayom ha-rishonim d'maysa Mashiach, in the beginning of the days of Mashiach, there's going to be great miracles happening. We're going to be witness, Be'ez Hashem, to great miracles. Im kol zeh, still, yihateva mishamesh as gamkein v'yiskayim adayin ha-choymi v'agashmi ba'olam kuloi v'chein gam b'yisrael atzman. We'll still be physical, we'll still be here, doing physical mitzvahs, doing physical actions in this world as a lead-up and as a build-up to the ultimate coming of the final Gula. So he says basically it's a work in progression. When the Nevi'im and some of the Gemara seem to imply that we're going to be doing mitzvahs with a new renewed vigor, and we'll have a new Ischachus, and the Klal Yisrael will be coming back, that's all going to be in the pre-lead up to the final Gula. That's when we're still living in a physical sense, B'chaymi u'v'gashmi. There'll be a fusion, like we said, of Nisim happening, something which is supernatural, and things which are natural. Ultimately, it's going to lead us. We're going to go from Madarga to Darga. We'll keep climbing those steps of the ladder until we're able, Be'ez Hashem, to get to the Asalav Imamish after Tchias HaMesim, when we can live in a completely ruchanistic sense. He concludes, he says, he brings a medrash in Tehillim. The Pasuk says, right, we know it says, Magdil Yishois Malkoi, and another Pasuk says, Migdil Yishois Malkoi. So he brings a medrash. The medrash says, Rav Yudin Oymer Lefish, Eina Geula Baal Umazu Vasachas. The Geula is not going to come just at the snap of fingers. Ela Kimba Kimba. It's going to come step by step. For whom Magdil Lefishi Misgadels Valachas. It's not just a boom, a tower is going to come up, a Migdal. It's going to be Magdil. We're going to have to keep climbing. It's a Lashna. It's going to be continuous as we're going higher and higher. Lefikach, therefore, he says, the Gula is compared to the sunrise, just like the sunrise, right? We're in the darkest of night. The darkest part of the night is right before Alois HaShachar. But Alois HaShachar, it's not bright right away, right? The sun starts coming up little by little. So the same thing will be Meher B'Meinu and the Gula Asida, that we're going to be in the darkest of Gaul. So it's going to be really challenging times going on, and all of a sudden sparks of light are going to start coming out, and that's going to be the beginning of the Gula, and then ultimately Be'ez Hashem will be Zeichet to the Gula Shleim of Meher B'Yemeinu. Amen.
Amen. So he's going to put us back in St. Louis at the Kollel.